heart. The first word for grief is that of God's. Think about that one. He knows our grief because he too knew grief. And here he was sorry. I don't know if he necessarily inferred that that means he repented, but he was sorry that he had made mankind this early, if you will, in the Bible. But yes, that's a good point. That's a good point. Sometimes changes were based upon conditions. Flip to Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 8 through 10. Jeremiah chapter 18, in verses 8 through 10. Somebody read that for us. Jeremiah 18, 8 through 10. Yeah, so repentance or changing God's mind was really based upon man's actions. If you do what you're supposed to do, then what I said I was going to do against you won't happen. But if then you go back from the ways that you're going to do it, then I'm going to bring back the evil that I said I would. So some of it was conditional in that regard, based upon you and me, based upon mankind. We mentioned last week the prayer of Hezekiah, Isaiah 38, verses 1 through 5, where he told him, set your house in order, you're going to die. But the Bible tells us that he heard his prayers, and even the Bible says God saw his tears. Now you think about that for you and me tonight. If God saw the tears of Hezekiah, does he see our tears as well? Sure. In fact, over in Psalm chapter 56, verse 8, he says, put your tears into my bottle. The idea seems to be that God knows the number of tears that we shed in times of sorrows. And so God changed his mind because of the prayer of righteous Hezekiah. There are some things that God's not going to change. God's not going to change his will. Over in Numbers chapter 23, Balak is a foreign king, and he's chosen Balaam to pray to curse God's people. And the Bible says in Numbers chapter 23, verses 19 and 20, God is not like man. He will not change. So, in other words, I can't change his message because he's not going to change. And so that was true. Saul wanted Samuel to bless him even in the midst of the evil that he had done. That is, sparing Agag, sparing the best of the animals. And in 1 Samuel 15, verse 29, Samuel puts it this way, the strength of Israel, referring to God, will not lie nor relent. He is not a man that he should relent. Relent means give in. He says, he's not like mankind. He's not going to change. I can't bless you because what you did was wrong. You knew it was wrong. You knew what God has said, utterly destroy them seven times in that chapter, and yet they wouldn't do it. And so now King Saul is saying, okay, bless me at least one time. And he says, I can't do that. You've done wrong. You're going to lose the kingship because of it. God's not a God that's just going to overlook it in that manner. Any other thoughts or questions about this idea of God changing his mind?
Hey,
yes.
2 Kings 3.
Yeah. Okay, 2 Kings 3, where God changed his mind based upon the goodness of the prophet himself.
Hey, John, there's another place.
Yes.
Numbers, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, is where they're in the wilderness still, and they're upset because they don't have any meat. They're tired of manna. And verse 1 says, "Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched."
Okay. Well, that's great. Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. So we need to understand that there are times when God has changed his mind based upon the goodness of mankind. But there are some things that God will not change about. For example, in Malachi chapter 3, which tends to be the last book written in the Old Testament before the beginning of the New Testament. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "For I, the Lord, I do not change." And in that same discussion, Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, it said God hates divorce. So think about that one. In other words, God still, he hated it then, he hates it now. Because he says, there's some things I don't change about, and that's one of them. Yes, Brian? Okay, that's a good point. Well, I hope you enjoyed looking through that. I learned some things that I had not thought about, and so I hope that will be helpful to you and hope that you'll further your discussion. Last week we were talking about qualifications of proper prayer, and we had started by talking about that we have to be submissive in our request, the idea being according to his will. We can't just say, you know, it's not Burger King where you know, this is what I want, and I want you to give it to me. No, it's according to his will. Because there may be some things that we pray that would not be according to his will. And we may not even see that. You may be asking for a particular job or a particular promotion, and you may be praying to God, you may be doing that regularly. And yet what you may not realize is that God has the ability to know that that might be the worst thing for you and your family. That it might not be the blessing that you think it to be. Increase of money, yes. Increase maybe of power, perhaps. Prestige, maybe. But that might not be the best thing. And so sometimes we need to be sure that we pray according to his will. The second point that we made last week before we ended was that we have to be abiding in Christ. John 15:7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We can't ask God to do something for us if we're not his children, if we're not living in accordance to his way. We can ask all we want to, but he's not going to answer because we're not abiding. We're not in him. And so it's really important that we do that. And then here's one that I think we need to keep in mind. And somebody turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. In order to be able to pray properly, we must be forgiving of each other. And the scriptures say that. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. That when we go to God, we're asking God to forgive us. We've got, that's the vertical, God to me. Then to you, and you know, crossways, I have to be willing to forgive. And I have to be willing to try to make amends with you as much as possible. Because it's a hypocrite to be able to ask God, now forgive me of all my wrongs, but I'm not willing to forgive you of your wrongs. 1 John chapter 4, somebody read verses 20 and 21. Yeah, and in the model prayer of Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, forgive us our debts as we do what? Forgive our debtors. Now, you know, money, yeah, that might be, but I think it's far more than that. He's talking about you be willing to ask me to forgive you of your mistakes as you're willing to forgive others of their mistakes. And fellas, and I don't know why, but it's there, and it was said by God. We can live in such a way so as to not be heard in our prayers to God because of the way we treat those around us, i.e., especially our wives. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And let's look at what he has to say about this. 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 7. Now notice he says, husbands likewise. Look at verse 1. Wives likewise. So he's talking about wives and some things about them being submissive to their own husbands, some other things. And then he says, okay, while I'm talking about the family, let me talk about the men, the fathers, the husbands. Husbands likewise. Dwell. That word suggests the idea of domestic association. It means day to day. It means, you know, sitting in the pew. Sitting at home, in the bed, in the house, on trips, whatever the case may be. He's talking about husband and wife together. What are we to do? He says, dwell with them with understanding. That word dwell suggests that of something distinctive. And notice what he says, giving honor to the wife. And that word honor there is very interesting. Because literally, it means precious. You treat that wife as precious. Study sometimes the way the word precious is used in the Bible. It's really, really interesting. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of who? His saints. Precious, unity. The unity of the church. People getting along together. That's used, I believe, in the book of Psalms. Six or seven times that word precious is used. And I don't know if your translation says precious or not, but literally that's the word that is mentioned here. And he says, give honor to them. Treat them as precious, as unto the weaker vessel. But today some people don't want to hear about that. But you go to the golf course, and what do you see that is distinctive between a man that's playing golf and a woman that's playing golf?
The starting point,
yes. The course is shorter for the women than for the men. Why? Because they just don't have the physical, made by God, ability to hit the ball as far as a man. Not saying inferior, not saying anything whatsoever. Just God made the body. God made this structure with the idea of being able to have more muscle upon a man's body as upon a woman's body. He's not talking about intellectually. He's not talking about mentally. He's not talking about spiritually. He's just saying they're made differently. Nothing feminist about it at all. God made you. Thankfully, you're a whole lot more beautiful than we are. I mean, God made you. But he says, you give honor. You treat them as precious. Because not only for who they are, but what they are. They are heirs together of the grace of life. I would not want to try to live the Christian life without my wife by my side. There are things that she does that I can't get to yet. There are things that I hope to be able to get to her point or level, because sometimes she has greater faith than I do. Heirs together of the grace of life. Heir, you're joined together. It's not something that you're fighting and fussing and bickering and those things. And notice what he says here. What's the end result? So that your prayers may not be hindered. Once he's saying that, your prayer life can be hindered if you don't treat her as precious. Your prayer life can be hindered. That word hindered literally means cut off. It's like a line of communication that somebody just snipped. It doesn't get to heaven. Why? Because you're in the way. Husbands. And that can also be true of women. Women can also mistreat their husbands. And that can, you would think what's good for the goose is good for the gander. if our prayer life can be hindered, their prayer life can be hindered by the way they treat or mistreat their mate. Right? I don't think anybody would argue with that. But it's interesting to me that when we're talking about this idea of forgiveness, that this specially is found in God's word. And God who made us put it there. So, guys, we need to make sure that we treat them. Yeah, there are going to be times we're going to disagree. There are going to be times when we might want to say something. I heard about this fellow who had been working all day long, came in, and the house was a wreck. I mean, there was stuff all over the place. Nothing had been cleaned up, yet the wife had been there all day long. She was sitting there with a big bowl of buttered popcorn and remote in one hand, and she was watching her TV shows. And he came in, he said, "Honey, what in the world happened? I thought you were going to clean this house." She said, "Well, I've just been sitting here enjoying this TV show." He said, "Well, this is terrible." I said, "Things are so messy. You know it's even so messy, I can write my name right there in the dust on that table." She looked up from the popcorn and said, "Ain't education wonderful?" We need to be careful, because God says our prayer life, our line to Him, can be altered, can be snapped, snipped, cut off because of the way we mistreat someone. That would apply to family as well, not just husband and wife, but it's interesting that in this case He said that. Any thoughts or any comments before we continue on? I didn't think I'd get a lot of comments on that one, but I think we understand the point. What's another qualification of prayer? We have to be humble as we approach our God in prayer. Turn to James chapter 4. We must be humble and approachable to God. James chapter 4. And listen to what he says in verses 6 through 10. But He gives more grace, therefore He says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Remember the story about the two men that were in the temple to pray? I believe it's Luke chapter 18. One stood there and prayed with himself, the Bible tells you. Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 4. And he's looking toward heaven, which typically it seems to be that they would look this way. They would look up toward God that way and pray. He never prayed for any need that he had, right? because he didn't think he needed anything. God, I thank you that I'm not like anybody else. Here's the things I know. I do, God, as if God had forgotten, you know. God needed to know that he gives all these things and that he fasts and all these things. And so all he's doing is praying to himself. Notice the position of the other man. What does the Bible say about him? Where was he standing? Afar off. Not in the limelight. Not where everybody could hear him, but off in the corner. And the Bible says that he would not even look to heaven, but instead he beat upon his chest, and this was his prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what did Jesus say about those two prayers? Whose prayer was justified? Which one? The second one. Was the first one blessed? No, it wasn't a prayer. It was the declaration of how great I am. You know, sometimes that may happen too. We don't need to have that, where people talk about how, God, let me tell you what I've been doing. Don't you think he sees? Don't you think he knows your heart? Don't you think he knows why you did what you did? Sure. That fellow didn't need anything from God because he was full of himself. And yet, here's the fellow that went down to his house justified, just as if he had never sinned. Why? Because he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Remember that old black spiritual song? It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord. What's the rest of it? Standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister. It's me, O Lord. That's the way we need to feel every day. This little girl wanted to have her prayer answered by God, and so she went up into the attic of the house, and she was gone a long, long time. When she came back down, the mom said, "Where have you been?" She said, "I've been praying to God." So later on, she went up into the attic, and sure enough, there in the attic, stuffed right there near the roof, was a piece of paper. The mom got the piece of paper down and looked at it, and it said, "Dear God, please get my sister well." And the mother came to the little girl and said, "Why did you put those words on that piece of paper?" She said, "I thought that if I could get my prayer as high as I could, God would take it from there." And that's the way it is. When in humility, we just say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The late Gus Nichols, Jasper, Alabama, had a time when one of his children, I believe they had 6 or 7 children, was very, very sick. The story goes that Brother Gus went out into his garden. He was a farmer. Got in the middle of a row, put his face down into the dirt, sprinkled dust and dirt on top of his head, and prayed repeatedly for the welfare of his daughter. Later on, he made the statement, "I thought if I got as low as I could, then God could hear my prayer." We've got to be humble whenever we approach God. Draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh to you. Psalm 51 and the prayer of David's sins and the forgiveness and the desire for sins, he makes the statement in verse 17, "A broken and a contrite spirit you will not withdraw from." In other words, if he came to God in that manner, then God would hear and answer his prayers. Somebody said the shortest prayer in all the Bible is found in Psalm chapter 12, verse 1. You go to Psalm chapter 12, verse 1, and the first two words are the entire words of the prayer. You know what he says? Help God. Help God. then he talks about the other reasons, but that's his prayer. Two words. Maybe some of you have been in times where you just didn't know the trauma, the emotions of the moment, and you didn't know what to pray. And you may have just been able to help God, please. A week ago tomorrow, in Green, Alabama, a family had come together to visit, and there was an 80-year-old mother, grandmother, great-grandmother in the house. She had had some heart issues. But while her husband, 83 years of age, was right outside the front door visiting with some of the family that had come in from Virginia, unbeknown to them, she had had a heart problem, and she fell out. And when they went into and could not find Miss Ruby, they found her in the bathroom, sprawled out, not breathing. The daughter that just providentially happened to be there from Virginia, wasn't supposed to be there then, but maybe days later, began to do CPR. And that man, an elder of the church at Grant, Alabama, with a cane in his hand, got down on his knees, and all he could say was, "God, please, please, please spare my wife." And he said it over and over and over again. Hopefully tomorrow she's going to be released from Huntsville Hospital. Prayer is powerful. Prayer changes things, but most importantly, prayer changes me. And sometimes it takes us getting down on our hands and knees. One time we'll look at the positions of prayer found in the Bible. Remember Jesus, Matthew 26:39, when he prayed for you and me, the Bible says he fell on his face. Some of you have fallen on your face before, because you didn't have anywhere else to go. And you just prayed over and over and over again. And so humility goes without saying. We're going to end with God's telephone number. You say, wait a minute, where in the world is that? Somebody tells a story that he was talking about all the troubles that he had, but he said, when those problems happen, I just call God's telephone number. And this guy said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, Jeremiah 33:3. So turn there if you want to. Jeremiah 33:3. He says, there's God's telephone number. Call unto me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. I guess that could be God's telephone number, because he can do far more than we think. Jeremiah 33:3. Okay, any thoughts or any comments as we close out tonight?
John, what you're talking about, approaching prayer, God is going to be good. If you went down to a civilian judge, you would definitely not be afraid, but you'd be looking at the floor when the mercy and the provide.
Okay, that's right. That's right. And
God is.
Thoughts and the intents of the heart, the Bible says, I believe in the book of Hebrews, that God's going to know. He's not only going to know what we did, but why we did it. I believe 2 Corinthians talks about the hidden counsels, thoughts of the heart, the mind. You may not know, but God knows. He knows what mine are. And mankind's going to be judged according to that. Any other thoughts or comments? How many of you know or have seen the movie War Room? Anybody? I'm sure there's some things in it that, you know, I wouldn't. It's been a while since I've seen it. Cicely Tyson is a mother that is praying for her son because she's afraid that he's going to go wayward and astray, not only in his work, but also in his relationship with his wife. And she talked about the war room. You might look that up and see what, you know, read about it. But basically the point was she had a little closet. Matthew 6 talks about going into your closet. She had a little closet, and in that closet were specific things that she was praying for over and over and over again for her son. And it was the idea that it wasn't just a, you know, Luke chapter 18. Remember that woman that gave the judge such a hard time, and he finally says, I'm going to grant her request, not because I believe in her or like what she's doing, but she keeps on bugging me. She keeps on coming to me. And then God says, or Jesus says, God's going to do the same for you when you just keep on coming to him. And so it's that idea of the war room, that we just have to keep on keeping on in those things that are important to us. Anything else before we stop? Thank you so much for your comments. Thank you for doing the homework, and we'll look forward to doing this. We'll be talking about acceptable prayer and what it means to have an acceptable prayer in regards to God and the way in which we pray. So we will do that next week. Thank you so much for being here.
we have a couple of prayer, special prayer requests this evening, and one of them I got from Judy Gooch just a little bit before we came over here, and the other I just got now. So if you will bow with me, we'll address on our Lord on behalf of these that are asked, that have been asked to pray for. Our holy God and eternal Father, you have created us with amazing and wonderful bodies and a spirit within. You have occasionally allowed us to experience pain and suffering that we may demonstrate to the principalities and powers in heavenly places and to Satan himself that we are your people. One of the trials that has come to mind is Alan Duncan, the younger brother of Judy Gooch, and he has been found with a brain tumor. It has been located recently, and he, by the physicians that are men, they give him 6 months to live if it's treated, and no guarantee if he's not treated. But we and I would boldly ask that you, the great physician, would heal Ellen and also allow. I'm aware that you are sovereign and that you have other purposes for us in your use of pain and suffering, but I also know that we are told to ask boldly on behalf of our brothers and sisters to ask for your blessings in these cases. Well, thy will be done, but we still ask for comfort for the family and for the source of the family, the souls of the family, that they, with each trial, may strengthen themselves in us, in our faith in you. Give us strength and courage to handle the trials of life. There are others among us who are also feeling those problems today. That you know who they are. Each one, as they are addressing you for help, we pray that you will bless them as well. Increase our love and faith in you. We also plead on behalf of Dozie Mosley, and I get a tongue tied a little bit on that one, but he is being taken in to be checked out as well, and we pray that you will go with him and he will go with you. We pray, Father, that you will accept our thanks and prayer for the opportunity that you allow us to pray in Jesus' name, our great Savior and wonderful Lord, and amen.
Good evening. We want to welcome everyone, our members and our visitors, for being here tonight with us to our midweek Bible study and our devotional period to sing praises to God. We have several that are sick in the congregation. If you will, please continue to keep them in your prayers. Baby Ezra Beckman, he was born Friday, September 16th. He weighed 7 pounds, 14 ounces. Please keep him in your prayers. He is the son of Justin and Mercedes, and he is still in the hospital in the NICU. We are in charge of the services at Monterey Apartments this Sunday, September 25th at 1:30. If you can help with this, please see Jake Van Dyke. Everyone is invited to celebrate the 75th wedding anniversary of Leo and Hazel Martin this Sunday, September 25th from 2 to 4 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Again, please no gifts, but cards would be greatly appreciated. If you're interested in doing a devotional on Wednesday nights, please sign the sheet on the table located beside the sound room or see Austin. If you plan to go on a family retreat, the money is due. If you will, please give that to Mark Willingham or Austin Johnson. And also, if you are going on the family retreat, there will be a meeting this Sunday night following evening services down in front of the auditorium. Thank you.
Let's stand together for this song. We'll sing Hide Me, Rock of Ages. Oh, thou blessed rock of ages.
Of ages I am trusting now, dear Lord, in thee.
Straighten things up. Just be at peace with everybody. And strive for the holiness without which we won't see God. Peter said, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Maybe it's not an everybody else problem, but maybe I need to straighten up just a little bit. Verse 15, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. What's that mean? If you've got the gift that's free, give it to somebody else. That no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Some people live their entire life bitter. You know, bitter is always painful, hurts, and nobody wants to be around it. So maybe to get out of bitter and to become better, maybe you strive for peace, pursue holiness, share the grace of God, and that will change the way you feel towards people, maybe even the way you feel towards yourself, or maybe even the way you feel towards an unfortunate set of circumstances that you have in your life, with you, with your children, maybe with your grandchildren. Maybe it does. All I know is, when I get my truck straightened up, and I pull out of there, I'm driving down the road, and I let go of the steering wheel. Don't try that, teenagers. But when I let go and it just stays down that path, man, that feels good. It's just an easy alignment. Maybe tonight you just need a little bit of an alignment check. I'll tell you this, it's going to feel like a big change. So on Wednesday night, we want to pray for you. Some people told me that Sunday they didn't come forward because they were just nervous. Come on. Let's straighten up together. Whoever you are, we want to pray for you tonight, whether it's in public or private. I'll stand up and sing.
Have thine own way.